Okay, we're in Heavenly Places, page 21, for today, January 15th. It's titled, God's Grace Transforms the Life. Amen and amen. And she starts off with John chapter 3, verse 7. And it says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And, of course, he's talking to Nicodemus that night. And it says, the great truth of the conversion of the heart by the Holy Spirit is presented in Christ's words to Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's, of course, John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Possibly 7. Anyway, and it goes on to say that it is by the renewing of the heart that the grace of God works to transform the life. No mere external change is sufficient to bring us into harmony with God. And boy, I tell you, a lot of Christians seem to think that's the way to go. I did like that in the beginning until I actually met Christ. And for years, I tried to clean up my act, and so I'm going to go to Straight and Narrow, and I was going to Mass every morning. You know, I was a Catholic at the time. So I went to church every morning, said the rosary every day. I was a Eucharistic minister. I even taught for the church, and it was just, and I was an usher, you know. If I wasn't married, I'd have been a priest. I don't think I'd have gone that route. But it just didn't work. None of it worked. Oh, and I went to confession every Saturday, even if I didn't have anything to confess, because I really didn't know what was sin anyway back then. And so none of it. There was no peace. Nothing. And the Lord knew I was looking. And he knew what would work for me, what would get me into his word. So he sent a bunch of people telling me I was going to hell because I was a Catholic and they all had Bibles. I figured, well, I'm going to get a Bible. I'm going to shut them up using their Bibles. And boy, did they ever shut me up. Well, actually, the Lord shut me up. You fall on the rock and you become a new creature. And so it goes on to say that there are many who try to reform by correcting this bad habit or that bad habit, and they hope in this way to become Christians, but they are beginning in the wrong place. Our first work is with the heart. And that literally took me 18 months to figure that out. I kid you not, because that was the time I was also reading the Word, too. But she says, the leaven of truth works secretly, silently, steadily to transform the soul. The natural inclinations are softened and subdued. New thoughts, new feelings, new motives are implanted. And I got to tell you, we all experience that. You know, especially when it comes to some of the idiosyncrasies that we've had before meeting Christ, or some of the, you know, the downright sinful desires, they're just gone. But she says, a new standard of character is set up, the life of Christ. The mind is changed, the faculties are aroused to action in new lines. Man is not endowed with new faculties, but the faculties he has are sanctified, or set apart for holy use. That's what sanctification means. And the conscience is awakened. And again, that right there, even if you're, you know, walking with Christ 50 years, the conscience is awakened is something that we all know, and I praise God for, because you literally, I mean, he talks to you a lot, or us a lot, through the means of communication in the conscience, to where, like, you start walking towards something you shouldn't walk towards, and you just know in your mind that, okay, get out of there, you're on dangerous ground. Get away from that kind of a thing, you know. And so she says, the scriptures are the great agency in this transformation of character. Christ prayed, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 17:17. And we also know the Bible says, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is why we got to read the Bible every day. Not every other day, or not once a week, or twice a week, or whatever. It's every single solitary day, because then he knows you're serious. Since you go to sleep every day, why don't you get up every day? Because some people read the Bible whenever they get around to it. Well, go to sleep whenever you get around to it then. See how that'll work out. Because it's a new day. Every time you wake up, it's a brand new day. She says, if studied and obeyed, the Word of God works in the heart, subduing every unholy attribute. The Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin, and the faith that springs up in the heart works by love to Christ, conforming us, body, soul, and spirit, to his will. A man sees his danger. He sees that he needs a change of character, a change of heart. He is stirred. His fears are aroused. The Spirit of God is working in him, and with fear and trembling he works for himself, seeking to find out his defects of character and to see what he can do to bring about the needed change in his life. And this is kind of like what I was talking about earlier with that atheist. He keeps bringing up the fact that he says, oh, my message is fearful. I says, no. He says, oh, you're just all filled with fear, Nicholas. And I says, or something to that effect. And I says, no, none of this stuff is fearful. This stuff is amazing. I mean, this means Jesus is coming soon, and I'm very, very happy. If you see it as fearful, there's where the problem lies. I'm out there telling the truth. This is about to happen. I'm happy to see it. It's called a great and dreadful day for a reason. It's great for the Christians because this is what we have been waiting for. This is our God. We have waited for him. But the rest, it's dreadful. They don't want to see that eastern sky split, and they certainly don't want to see plague number 7. So, going on, it says, he confesses his sins to God, and if he has injured anyone, he confesses the wrong to the one he has injured. That's difficult. You know, that is difficult for some people, not all. But when I first started doing it, it was difficult for me. I had to go and tell some loved ones that I have sinned against them. And it was very, very difficult for me to do that the very first times I did it. But then when I did it, the Lord put a peace in me and gave me a strength and the courage to just do it whenever I messed up. I'm the king of apology because I'll apologize left and right because I don't like it. Because a lot of times I'll do something or say something I shouldn't do or say, and it isn't until a few moments later the Holy Spirit says, okay, you messed up there. You know, 99% of the time, my tongue is pretty well bridled, but some areas and some idiosyncrasies of my character, just like anybody else's, you know, you get a knee-jerk response sometimes. You don't expect it. And this is where I want to grow, and some of us need to grow as well. I know some of us have issues in that area where you jump the gun and you say things a little bit too quickly. And the Lord's working with me on that, and I praise his name for that, but it's still at the same time, it can be difficult to confess the wrong, you know, but in the beginning. But I praise God that he made it so easy for me that even if I mess up on a pulpit, first chance I get, usually the following Sabbath, I will correct it. I don't have any problem saying I messed up because I'm learning just like anybody else. I mean, even a doctor of divinity has a problem in that area when they spout an error and they're caught on it and they'll circle talk. I like that, you know, they'll work their way around it to try to make it look like, oh, this is what I actually meant. It's kind of like what a politician does. Well, I didn't say that. Well, look, we got it on camera here. And then they say, well, what I really meant was, why don't you just admit you were wrong? Nothing wrong with it. It's. But some people can't do it. And so, finishing it says, he acts in harmony. Those that do this, that do it the right way. He acts in harmony with the Spirit's working, and his conversion is genuine. It's genuine. And so those of us who are having a little bit of an issue in regards to, am I really walking with him or not? Is he really there or not? Well, there you have it. If you're pushed to go into areas to do the right thing like that, and you're working in harmony with the Spirit, and you're going to do it no matter what, then yeah, you got no problems there. You're walking with him. But for people that can't do, like what 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14 says in regards to like walking away from some people so that they'll be ashamed knowing you're a strong Christian, or even if they don't know you're strong, let's just say they know you're a Christian, and you turn around and walk away from them. You know, like you have to do, like you leave a certain church. And if you don't leave, which most people have a hard time doing, as well, I'll try to fix things from inside. Well, that's not what Revelation 18, 1-5 says. You got to get out of there. You got to make a statement. Because those closest to you who know you will become ashamed because they saw you walk away. They know you don't walk away flippantly. They know you're doing it for a reason and that it brings shame to them and that might bring repentance. But if you're sitting in the pew next to them every Sabbath, or Sunday for that matter, well then they're going to feel complacent. They're going to feel, well, it must not be that bad because he's still sitting there. It's not that bad. And that's where it just goes downhill from there.